This edition of the Optimize We podcast is brought to you by the Biohacking Index. Visit biohackingindex.com for ratings and reviews of your favorite wellness solutions and wellness providers. Hello, I'm Lindsay O'Neill, and welcome to the Optimize We podcast, where we share biohacking truths without the BS. Today, I am so excited to welcome a new friend of mine, Dr. David Lipman, who is the bio-optimization king of Boca Raton, but he is actually from New York. Welcome, Dr. David. How are you today?
I'm superhuman and getting younger by the day, Lindsay. Thanks for asking. But more importantly, thanks for having me in today as your guest. I really appreciate you. I feel like I should be thanking you.
Your whole life, from a very, very young age. You mentioned something to me when we were talking, and I pressed the pause button on that conversation because I wanted to have this conversation for the first time on the podcast. So you mentioned to me that you've been biohacking since you were 10.
Yes. So again, you know, biohacking didn't exist as a thing back then. It's more recent. But when you think about what biohacking is, basically what it's doing, it's helping to optimize your body's own regenerative, recuperative healing processes by, you know, doing things or avoiding things. So for me, it just came about sort of in a roundabout way. We had just moved into a new neighborhood. It was really the beginning of Long Island as a suburb, because prior to that, Long Island was really largely like farms and, you know, cattle and potato farms and things like that. So it really wasn't developed. So everybody that moved into this really brand new area that had just been started to build, were all coming from like the five boroughs, Queens, Brooklyn, the Bronx, Staten Island, Manhattan. So even though it was the early stages of the suburbs, it really had a city mentality. Everybody was coming from the city. And so in those early days, it was almost like being in the city in terms of, you know, a little bit more rough. You know, the kids were a little bit rougher. Like the first day I moved in, I was started up with me. And, you know, so it was, you know, kind of oppressive in that sense. And so very fortunate for me, the boy that lived next door, he was a couple of years older than me, and his father was into martial arts. And so the two things I got from him that really was inspirational is that, number one, I could do things, naming exercise, and start to get myself strong. And because it was martial arts based, it also added how to be a good fighter. So being able to fight and to build your body to be strong, and the concept that what you eat can also enhance that. So he got me off the Pop-Tarts and Captain Crunch and Wonder Bread and starting to eat real food at 10 years old. You know, my mom thought I was crazy, but she was willing to go along with it because it wasn't like I was asking something so outlandish. Like, I just wanted to stick to things that grew and things that were once alive that, you know, you could eat. And so that became my diet at a very—
What decade was this?
It started in 1971 for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
70s into 80s, it was all sugar. They were pumping us full of sugar, sugary cereals, the Pop-Tart.
And it was bad and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Carb, carb, carb.
Yep. And so it was really very fortunate for me because I really took to it. Look, I was motivated at first because I didn't want to be a victim. You know, that was my initial motivation. And then to see that, you know, what I could do to really, you know, make myself more confident by being stronger, you know, punching and kicking a heavy bag and learning some of the martial arts. It's just, I took to it, you know, and I love the idea that we were really getting our body to be stronger through the exercise process and then things that we ate. And so that kind of theme stuck with me. And then I started to like research things. I mean, back then there was no internet, of course, but you'd read magazines. I would get some of the, you know, the weightlifting or the bodybuilding magazines just to see about the nutritional part. And I started taking vitamins. In fact, my friends used to call me Vitamin D because, you know, sort of nobody was taking vitamins then and nobody was working out either. You know, you played ball on the street when you're a kid, you ride your bike, but nobody was in an organized fashion working out, but I was. So it was very fortunate that that was my initiation into what has now become the biohacking field. And it also made it very attractive to me to go into chiropractic, because the whole premise of chiropractic as a practice is to help your body do its best healing by removing obstacles, you know, from, let's say, spinal misalignments, just call it that, and other things that create, you know, an a reduction in nerve flow and blood flow and just doesn't allow your body to work. So when I was helped by a chiropractor after I broke my neck when I was 15 in a motorcycle injury, it really pushed me in that whole direction because, you know, here's a physician that doesn't inject you or cut you or give you pills. It was, you know, much different. It was getting the body to do its best thing. So that theme really managed to stay with me from that early time, brought me into this degree program of chiropractic care. But then it's just opened my eyes as more of these modalities have come out. I'm always looking for what can I do for me? Like all these things I do here in the office, I get them for me, but then I share them with everybody because so many people have just lost quality of life from a health standpoint, even 20 years younger than me. People in their 40s, they just don't feel good. And I'm in my mid-60s. I feel like I'm in my mid-30s. And it's because I've learned all these things and I've put these things into action as part of a daily and weekly practice of doing all these things to either, what I say, remove obstacles to health or to fortify deficiencies that exist. So that's kind of where it's gotten from. And this is how it got here. And it's just part of it. And I can't wait till the next new thing comes out because I'm going to get it.
I love that. So, I mean, it sounds like from a young age, you're always looking for ways to feel good, but then also to strengthen yourself. And I love how you just blew over. You know, I just got into a motorcycle accident when I was 15 and I broke my neck. That is a huge, massive trauma, especially at that age, because I'm sure you were athletic. I'm sure you were in high school at that time. Mm-hmm. What happened? What was that accident all about?
I had a very close friend. He was my oldest friend, you know, at the time. He had a motorcycle. He was a year younger than me. You know, his folks were much more, my folks were very conservative. I mean, super conservative. His folks were not. And like they let him have a mini bike when he was 10 years old and that kind of thing. So we used to, you know, ride mini bikes and motorcycles that he had. And so we used to ride in an area where we weren't supposed to. And sometimes the cops would chase us and things like that. So on a particular occasion, that had happened, and you know, we just scrambled too fast, and you know, we had an injury, you know, an accident. I ended up, you know, coming off the bike, and fortunately, I had a helmet on, but you know, I did, you know, hit my head into the street, and it crushed two of my vertebra. But the fear of my dad and getting in trouble, because I wasn't supposed to be on a motorcycle, I was told more than once, and so the fear of my dad finding out was far worse than the pain I was feeling at the time. And very fortunately, nothing happened on the spinal cord level. It was just structural, you know, cracking two vertebra and crushing them. And so I hid the pain. I dealt with it for a few years. And by the time I was about 19, I had lost a lot of like the range of motion in my head, neck. And there was a young chiropractic student that was in the clinic and a big guy though. And I was working a summer job in between college and I was working at a fitness center. He was working out and he saw me that I was having trouble turning my head. And, you know, he asked me about it. I said, my neck's been hurting for a bunch of years. He says, why don't you come in and see me? I said, what do you do? He says, well, I'm a chiropractor. I said, what's that? Because I didn't know what a chiropractor was at that time. Anyway, he convinced me to come in. He took x-ray. He said, yeah, you broke your neck in two places here. And so he gave me that first adjustment. And it just like all of a sudden, not only was the pain gone, but like I had like an energy like shift like in my whole body. And I was actually being groomed to go into a family business that was multi-generational, was started by my great-grandfather. It was plumbing manufacturing. Then my grandfather went into it, my dad, and I was being groomed from a young age to go into that. And this whole, you know, experience just kind of took me in a whole different direction. But, you know, I think the passion that I had starting at that young age of 10 about the human body carried through to that whole thing. And now here we are. I have a broken neck and, you know, the remnants of that. And now all of a sudden is this guy just by hands, by doing this manipulation, you know, takes my pain away. And I was like, this is amazing stuff. And very fortunately, my dad was very supportive of me changing. I was scared to tell him, you know, because I didn't want to disappoint him, but he was totally supportive. You know, it worked out very well from that, you know, point. And I believe that this is where I'm purposed to be. I mean, the things that I do here and the things I've learned and the way I'm able to help people and help myself. You know, I learned so much from my own injuries and I take that knowledge and I'm able to help the next person because so much of what I know is just not common knowledge. It's just based on my experiences and the things I've been willing to do and implement and integrate into the practice, you know, including the biohacking stuff. So there's the musculoskeletal health, which is the, you know, the chiro stuff, but then all the things that, you know, this bio-optimization does is really getting to the deepest level of the cell to get that cell to function optimally. And that's what bio-optimization is. That's what biohacking is. It's getting down to the cellular level in optimizing energy production, the most simplest way put, that's how we're able to regenerate better, decrease the aging cycle, and all these things.
That's awesome. I mean, honestly, you know, it's so funny because your dad's probably not a scary dad, right? Like my youngest daughter came clean a couple of weeks ago in the middle of dinner, and we were all talking about like cheating on tests and all that kind of stuff. And I said, if anybody has anything to, you know, admit, now's the time, you know, tell mom what's going on. And my youngest daughter said, well, mom, I used to flush those terrible pills down the toilet, the ones that you, when she was first sick. And I couldn't even get mad at her because she knew her body better than I did at that particular point. That was when I was going kind of more of the hardcore pharmaceutical route when she was young. But those pills were making her feel like crap. And so what did she do? She flushed them down the toilet. And I know. It's like, well, I can't really be mad at you. But she was so terrified to tell me. And I feel like, you know, I'm a pretty open mom. I feel like my kids can come in and tell me anything. But it was almost a blessing that you felt that fear of telling your dad. And so you let it linger. You let that injury linger for so many years.
Yeah.
Until you were old enough to be on your own and to make your own decisions about your body. You were over 18. You know, you could vote, you could enroll in the army, and then you could also take care of yourself on your own. And the first thing you did ended up becoming your life's work and your life's purpose. And that's such a beautiful story. But it's continued since then. So you're not only, like as many of us do, right? We find our purpose through pain. But you're not only finding that purpose for yourself and for your immediate family, your loved ones, your friends, but you're also finding that purpose for so many other people. And I went on your website and I saw you have hundreds of reviews and they are all 5-star reviews, which I have to tell you, I have never seen before. So tell me a little bit more about your practice and some of your patients.
We moved to Florida in 2005. And by the mid-90s, all the insurance that had been so good in the 80s for chiropractic really started to turn. Things went to HMO and managed care. And they started to dictate, you know, the treatments we could do, how much they would pay. And I had a very successful practice in Connecticut. I'd moved there from New York and joined a partner. We had a whole wellness center. It was connected to a big fitness center. So we were doing training with these people, brought people in that came in with accidents or injuries. Mostly municipalities like police, fire department, teachers. We had the Teamsters from Sikorsky Aircraft that make the, you know, the Black Hawk and the Tomahawk helicopters. But we just really had a growing wellness center in the early 90s, but it included chiropractic care, nutrition, and personal training. It was great, but then all of a sudden, all that insurance changed, and it really decimated the practice because the business model was strictly based on the revenues we were getting from insurance. And when that changed, you know, I had to, you know, reinvent myself, I should say, there. We closed the practice and just collected, you know, those collections that were owed to us for about 3 years and then tried to do other things. And I became a personal trainer, too. I was working with people in the gym as a chiropractor, so I was able to help them with injuries, things like that. But, you know, when we moved to Florida and found out that I was going to have to take 5 exams to get licensed here, and I said, you know what, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. You know, the insurance, you know, business model was just horrible. And I put a lot of time and effort and I had a lot of passion for, you know, helping people. But, you know, it was too much of a struggle, you know? And then I said to myself, you know, I'm just not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do other things. So when we first moved here, I started doing some consulting. I tried to work on a few different businesses, some internet stuff, but it just didn't make it. After about 2 years, my dad had come to me one night and he said, look, I know you've been working really hard and you're trying, you know, and he said, look, maybe I can work with you. Maybe we can work together. We can figure something out. Maybe we'll buy a business or whatever it is. And like, for me, that was like going back 20 years, 25 years that I was supposed to be working with my dad in that family business. And now like all of a sudden, I'm going to get to take a chance to work with him. You know, I was like so excited. Like it was like a big weight lifted off my shoulder because it was really wearing on me that, you know, I was in my 40s and I didn't have a career path. You know, I didn't know what to do. And so he told me that. And it just kind of brought my whole spirit up. And the very next morning, he had a traumatic brain injury.
Your dad did?
My dad did. And so that elation from the night before turned into like this total like terror and fear and just like crazy sadness. And that's when I just kind of got down my knees, and I've never done this before. And I just prayed to God. I said, God, I'm so lost. And if you're really there and you care about me, I just want you to tell me what to do. And I said, look, I know I told all my family I don't want to be a chiropractor. I believed it was my purpose. But if it's really what you want me to do, make it clear to me. And from now on, I'm going to do it for you and not for me anymore.
Wow.
And I got to tell you something, Lindsay. Within days, things started to happen. As an example, a friend of mine who's a chiropractor here said, they just changed the rules. You don't have to take five exams. You just have to take one. Mm-hmm. And that was the first thing that happened. So like was the first little door opening in that direction. When I asked that question, I prayed that question. And then the next thing is I said, all right, I got to take a review course. I haven't been in school in 25 years. How am I going to pass an exam? I don't even know if I can. So I look up, you know, reviews, and who's doing it? The same woman that was teaching in New York in the 1980s when I got, you know, licensed. She was doing it. She was in her 60s then. Now she's in her 80s, which she's just this lively, lively person. I went through it all. I passed. But then, and this is where God's really funny this way, 2 weeks from getting my license, and all of a sudden my back started hurting, my lower back. And then it started to hurt a lot. And then my whole leg started to go numb and crazy pain. So I had a friend send me for an MRI. Turns out I had a ruptured disc, not a herniated one, was ruptured. And the piece of the disc came out and was sitting on my nerve root. So I was losing function in my right leg. I couldn't even lay in bed without pain. I had to sleep in the swimming pool for like 3 nights in a row until my wife just like took me to the hospital. And we went to a neurosurgeon and he said, look, you know, we have to do surgery here. And in this office with this neurosurgeon, I'm saying, all right, God, I just asked you and you told me very clearly you wanted me to be a chiropractor. Now this. And then all of a sudden, Lindsay, it hits me. I had to break my neck to be a chiropractor the first time. I now had to have dealing with this crazy lower back situation to be back to it. And as soon as I made that realization, I said to the neurosurgeon, I said, I'm not doing surgery. I said, give me something else. He says, there's really nothing else. I said, there's got to be something. He says, we can try an epidural. I said, okay, let's try that. First epidural, I was 80% out of pain. The second one, I was 100%, and I just rehabbed it by there. And the things that I learned about low back pain and having the kind of condition I had structurally taught me stuff that I never knew before. And I was able to come back and practice knowing things that I had never known. And it's happened that way for the last 13, 14 years. I've been doing it again here in South Florida. I've learned things and have these insights that are just not common knowledge. And to be honest with you, I'm like a C student. I believe God makes me an A student when it comes to that. And I think that's why not only am I able to do this, but I also believe I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. You know, when you make a promise to God, my belief system, you can't cut corners. You have to do the best you possibly can. You got to care about people. And so I think that's where the five stars come from. And the fact that I've had the kind of successes, not just, you know, financially, but really with people, with helping people. I'm a last resource for so many people. And it's like, okay, let's do it. You know, so, you know, I had to come back to it, and I had to lose my dad in the process, but I gained something far, you know, greater in the long run, in a sense. I'm only sorry that he didn't get to see me come back to this, because he would have been proud. And, you know, as a guy, you know, you want your dad's approval. And like you said before, he's not such a scary guy. The worst thing my dad ever could say to me was that I'm so disappointed in you. That was the worst thing I could hear. There's a, you know, great story here in terms of what I've been able to achieve through just being, you know, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I know this is my life's work, and it doesn't just extend that people come in the office now. It's educating people online, and who knows where else it's going to go. But giving people that empowerment to take good care of themselves despite the injuries, because most people that come in here, they didn't break their neck, they didn't have a ruptured disc, but yet I never had surgery. I learned how to deal with all that on top of all these other things we're doing to enhance, you know, or bio-optimize.
Thank you so much for sharing that whole story. Honestly, when you said, I'm going to tell you the truth, I thought you hired some PR firm that went around and, you know, got you five stars. I mean, a lot of people are doing that these days. And it's a shame, because you mentioned that you're the last stop for a lot of these people.
Yeah.
And my fiance, soon to be husband, is actually an FDNY lieutenant. And he had an injury in November where he fell down, a stair broke in a fire, and couldn't see. and the stair broke and he fell headfirst down a flight of stairs. And he had the same thing. He had an extruded L5-S1 into his spinal column sitting on top of the nerve root. Yeah. There were all a bunch of bone fragments and stuff. And so he couldn't avoid surgery, unfortunately. But we did try everything else before then. We went to 5 different chiropractors. We, you know, did all the biohacking things we could possibly do, hyperbaric chambers and, you know, superhuman protocols. And he did the injections and they just didn't work for him. But now that the surgery is done and they got all the bone fragments and everything, we can kind of go back to square one and maybe not see a chiropractor like you. And I'd love to fly down to Florida right now in the middle. Terrible. We'd love to come down and see you and see you as a practitioner, but also meet you and talk to some of your patients, because you should be the first step. You should be the first phone call that people make when they have an accident or an injury like that. Or even just, I'm a very loud sneezer. I weigh 110 pounds and I sneeze like a 400-pound man. And I feel like every time I sneeze, I'm going to throw my back out just from sneezing. And
bring out passionate sneezer, then, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get all of it out, Dr. David. I'm just getting all of it out of my body. A lot of people don't think of this type of work. They don't think of biohacking first. They think of, you know, traditional medicine. We go to the doctor, we get an MRI, you know, we go straight to surgery. And so tell me a little bit more about what you specifically do at your place, at the BioOptimize Center down in Boca.
Yeah. So as it applies to the musculoskeletal self, because that's, you know, where it started, you know, back pain, neck pain, shoulder, I mean, anything. I can help people with any musculoskeletal, all parts of their body, not just the spine, but, you know, literally anywhere. I realized how interactive the body really is. You see, we seem to be focused when we have pain on the area of pain, thinking this is where the problem is. But I learned that it's where the problem is ending up, or where the pain is ending up. The actual genesis is never from there, and it's never just one other place. You have to see the global view of the body, because even things going wrong in your ankle can affect things in your neck. So when you see the body as this whole interactive system, and the way I've learned to see it, it's given me a much more comprehensive approach. So, I mean, if you come in with neck pain, I'm starting at your feet and working my way up. You know, anybody, because that's how much everything affects everything.
Even cancers and autoimmune conditions.
So, well, that there's those other layers there. And I have patients we can talk about regarding that. But I'm just talking about the musculoskeletal stuff, because so many people are suffering from chronic pain in their musculoskeletal system, because the concept of the interaction of the body so completely has just been kind of missed. And maybe that's because people now become specialists. You know, you're a knee specialist, a shoulder specialist, because most people are going to go to an orthopedist. They kind of lose the rest of the body and all that. So despite structural damage like the herniated disc or the torn meniscus, it's really the way the body is changing and compensating and changing the way it's weight bearing and moving that really causes the pain. So what I call my process is like a re-engineering process. I'm re-engineering the way somebody's body is bearing weight and moving. And from a musculoskeletal standpoint, we're optimizing those mechanics. You know, so bio-optimizing when it comes to the musculoskeletal system is about the mechanics of weight bearing and motion. You know, optimizing mobility, strength, weakness, imbalance. All those things are figuring in, because the body has two ways of stabilizing itself. Number one, through proper mobility, stability, strength, you know, flexibility, or through muscle spasm. And believe me, you don't want muscle spasm to be the thing that's supporting your structure, because everybody that comes in here in pain, that's exactly what's happening. So there's weaknesses and imbalances, and muscles are splinting instead of allowing and supporting proper movement. So like, that's the approach on the musculoskeletal side. But take it to the, you know, the biochemical side. As I mentioned earlier, you know, we're either trying to remove obstacles to health, or fortify deficiencies to health at the cellular level. You know, there's over 32,000 diseases that we've identified in humans. And the one common denominator that they all have is a reduction of energy production at the cellular level, which says to me, we have 32,000 plus symptoms of one problem, losing energy at the cellular level. So if all the focus is put on bio-optimization, optimizing energy production at the cell level through the various biohacks we can use, whether it's Superhuman Protocol, red light by itself, pulse electromagnetic field by itself, methylene blue, you know, all the different things that we're able to do, cold plunging, to stimulate the body's process, as well as we analyze people's genetics when it comes to how they process nutrients, because many of us have alterations in our gene sequences of how we enzymatically process the raw nutrients we take in into the form the body can actually use. So either from food or from supplements, many of us have inherited from our folks, one or both parents, variants in these genetic enzymes. And when you have that, it will impair your ability to process the nutrients into the usable form so we can make DNA and hormones and neurotransmitters and all the things we need to make to function normally. So a lot of things that we identify as pathology is really the body's inability to use nutrients properly to make the things we need to make. So there's testing you can do to identify genetically what were you born with that's going to affect every single cell in your body in terms of how you process nutrients and where does it go from there? Can you make all the things you need to make to function optimally?
Is this like the MTHFR test?
It's not just that. There's many. We focus on five because they're the most studied, the most predictable in terms of when there's variance of what can happen. But we also couple that with what's called a cellular nutrition assay, meaning we're not looking in the bloodstream at the vitamin mineral content, we're looking inside the cell. Because when you look in the bloodstream, Lindsay, you're looking at like the last 48 to 72 hours. You're not looking at the last 6 months, but that's where the grill, you know, the secret is revealed inside the cell, because it's in the cell where all these nutrients are present to make the reaction that the cell needs to make the stuff it needs to make. So when you look at that and you really see, okay, this is what your true deficiencies are intracellularly. This is what your methylation issues are. You combine those things together, you're able to really find out, okay, what foods do I need? What foods do I need to avoid? What supplements do I need to take to supplement the actual deficiencies that I have? And whether it's the deficiencies that are showing up or the way my methylation's not working, that contributes to that. So when you drill down to that, again, this is bio-optimizing. This is getting the cellular level to function optimally. So that's just another layer of, you know, fortifying deficiencies and removing obstacles, like, you know, red light therapy removes free radicals and optimizes oxygenation of, you know, the last portion of the energy cycle in the mitochondria to make ATP. Because when that's inhibited by things like free radicals, that's where we're starting to lose energy production. And, you know, again, that can go wrong in so many ways. And, you know, cancer really is not an abnormal cell. It's a normal cell that stopped using oxygen or was unable to use oxygen to make energy. And it shifts over to this more primitive way of making energy in the cell called aerobic glycolysis instead of oxidative phosphorylation. So in the absence of oxygen, we're not making energy the way we can. So the mitochondria become defective and they can start to mutate. So they've done studies where they've taken healthy cells, taken the healthy mitochondria out and put them into cancer cells, and it caused the cancer cell to become normal again. Conversely, you've taken mitochondria from cancer cells, put them into healthy cells, and caused them to go cancerous. So what the cancer is, it's changing the way the body is making energy in those cells. And again, that's really the bottom line. So, you know, oxygen present in a cell, cancer can't be there. It's just by definition, it's impossible. So that's another way we've actually been offering people here, that we have one woman, and she's a star. She's been chronicling her whole journey of fighting breast cancer since last May. Since July, she's been here doing Superhuman Protocol 5 or 6 days a week. She's now actually doing counseling because she was a nutritional counselor. But now all these gals have been seeing her on her Instagram, on her Facebook profile, talking about her journey. And she's been, you know, cancer-free for several months now. All of her numbers are normal. And she's got this whole protocol she's doing, including coming to see us for Superhuman and to really understand what's possible, because she just refused to do radiation and chemo. And she chose to do this on her own. Anyway, so she's a warrior. She's got that real tough attitude, but she does so much research and she's sticking with it. And so many gals now are like reaching out to her and say, look, I have breast cancer. I want to go your way. You know, help me. So she's actually starting to counsel girls. So I think, you know, just like we were talking about earlier, you said, you know, you come from a deficit and you overcome that. And it really empowers you to help others with that same, you know, thing that you've learned by fixing yourself, so to speak. So I'm
bringing all of that, bringing the diagnostic part. So someone walks in, right, to the physical evidence location down in Boca, and you welcome them in, you do a physical analysis, you do a cellular analysis of where they are, you bio-individually create an optimization protocol for them that includes everything from nutrition, exercise, physical touch, right, and manipulation, and then all of these amazing biohacking solutions, anything from the superhuman protocol, red light therapy, you have cryo, you've got all these amazing technologies, you've got the shockwave technology I saw on your website. So many different things. God bless you for everything that you do. I'm so impressed. I am so grateful that you went through all of the things that you went through and that you have a level of commitment, not only to yourself, but you made that promise to God that you're going to do his work here on earth, and you are doing an amazing job. If someone is looking to talk to you, even if they live in, you know, Alaska, could they call up your office? You know, how can they get access to you? What's the best way to reach you?
So we have a special URL. It's physicalevidenceconnect.com. Physicalevidenceconnect.com. It gives you an opportunity to put in your information. There's a drop-down menu of things you'd like to learn about, but there's also a custom box where you can ask questions, talk about some of the things you might be going through, and give me an opportunity to learn a little bit about you that you can now, you know, reach out to me and I could respond and we could have a conversation. We could do a Zoom. We could drill down, because there's a lot of things that I'm now able to do that might not necessarily mean that you have to walk into the office. I also help you find resources that are near you that you might be able to start taking advantage of that you don't know perhaps exist. I've done this for a couple of people in the UK because I've been on one or two of those UK-based podcasts, also in Australia and also in the Netherlands not too long ago. I was able to help people and give them some of these insights and help them, you know, create this around their own lifestyle in these various places. So I think that's the best way to do it. You could also see me at Boca Raton Chiropractor on Instagram. It's the same thing for TikTok. But don't look at TikTok. My girl makes me do these stupid dances. She says,
"Oh, now we're all going to go on TikTok and watch you dance."
Whatever. So I listen to her because she knows better than I do about these things. But that's where you can reach out to me. And I'm always happy to help people, you know, anywhere they might be, just to give them some insights about themselves and some paths to follow in order to, you know, get a better hold of their health and realize that, you know, it's not helpless. I know everybody, there's an answer for everybody. Sometimes you just got to get through a bunch of layers to, you know, to get to that and see the different variables that have to be, you know, looked at.
I agree 1,000%. Well, we've laughed, you made me cry, and you've given me a tremendous amount of hope, not only for the next phases of our government and how we are going to make America healthy again, but also how you as an individual are helping to inspire others, like the woman who has breast cancer, who has healed herself, to now help others. It's kind of like dropping a pebble into a lake. You're creating this amazing ripple effect of bio-optimization. And I'm just so blessed to have you on the Optimize We podcast, Dr. David Lippmann from Boca Raton. You can go to physicalevidenceconnect.com. And you can also check him out at Boca Raton Chiropractor on Instagram and TikTok.
Thank you, Lindsay. Really appreciate it. Thanks again for having me. I really enjoyed our time together.
Absolutely. I can't wait to chat with you more. Thank you again. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
That's a wrap.